This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club, Club 1080. Yeah! The hottest spot of the world. Yeah! At the club.
Wow.
Goodness gracious.
Souk and Rob's passion. When you lose your starting kicker.
Those are just beautiful balls.
Figuratively and literally.
I think it's really sexy.
Okay. What's your point?
Juggling a lot of balls here.
I can't imagine that there's been a bigger one, has there?
Okay, welcome back to our show. What's up? How you guys doing?
You know, just the sportsing.
Honk the horn if you're doing well.
But now we're not sportsing.
No.
That Flash, what's that, Tom Likas, right?
Yeah.
The Flash Fridays.
Is that what he had? Oh, like show your boobs?
Yeah, I think that was like his deal. Like if someone honked, then you had to flash the up tops.
That is sickening.
That was before the Me Too sort of thing. But yeah, he was one of those guys like Sam Kennison. Like he would wear, like he'd bring girls in like on dog leashes.
That's 50% stupid.
Doesn't play so well anymore.
No, you're right. It doesn't. Neither does John Wayne.
No, but I don't know why people didn't know this about John Wayne. Before. I mean, when this article that I saw this pop up, I've known about this article for a decade.
Well, yeah, because you're a Playboy P1.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
You love your Playboy articles.
I don't know the last time I looked at a Playboy.
Me neither.
It's probably been about 10 years. You used to have a subscription that would come here.
So John Wayne is trending today. The actor.
Yeah. Died of cancer.
Yeah. True Grit.
John Wayne Airport, by the way, in California.
That's right.
Is that the Burbank Airport?
I think it is.
Yeah,
don't we fly through there for Pac-12 Media Day?
Yeah, I think that's the John Wayne Airport.
I am going to boycott it now. We'll no longer fly through there.
Yeah, he wasn't a good guy.
He died in 1979, and in 1971, he gave an interview with Playboy. And his quotes, for whatever reason, have resurfaced.
Yeah.
And in them are things like, he says, for example, "I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility. I don't believe in giving authority and positions of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people."
Yeah.
Wow. He also claimed that the academic community has developed certain tests that determine whether blacks are sufficiently equipped scholastically.
Yeah, he feels like the Negroes should be forced to prove they're intelligent with tests.
And yeah, some blacks have tried to force the issue and enter college when they haven't passed the tests and they don't have the requisite background.
Yeah.
Yikes. What else did he say? He says that he casts black people in what he deems to be proper roles. He said he had a black slave in the Alamo, and he had a correct number of blacks in the Green Berets.
A correct number.
If it's supposed to be a black character, naturally I use a black actor. But I don't go as far as hunting for positions for them. I think the Hollywood studios are carrying their tokenism a little too far.
Yeah, basically, he says some of the most racist and ignorant S that you could throw out there. But you also, I don't know why anyone would be surprised about this. He was born in 1907. he was a racist, sexist bigot, and I would make the argument that there are a ton of people from that time that held those beliefs. And at the time, the fact that this was in a Playboy interview and it wasn't a big deal, welcome to 1971.
Yeah, it's just crazy to think that, you know, that's how freely he spoke.
Yeah.
You know? Like, no second thought to toning that down at all.
No.
No, no. You want to know what I think? Here it is.
Well, let me, again, he was from what? He was.
Print this, bitch.
He was a Midwest guy. I think he was from Iowa.
I don't know where he was from.
I think he was an Iowa guy. But, it just, none of this should surprise anyone. It's like when you find out that your great-great-grandpa was a racist bastard, you're like, oh, yeah, well, that kind of makes sense. Like, the whole civil rights movement, like, go back to the 1940s, 1950s, wasn't great for minorities. Wasn't like there was a general consensus out there that this was a, you know, this was a great time to be alive if you were if you weren't white. So it's interesting now that you go back and do you separate John Wayne, the actor, from John Wayne, the person, and you take that approach of it was a different time? Or do you now go back and look at John Wayne and be like, dude, that guy's a giant a-hole. I don't want anything to do with John Wayne. And I think there's a lot of people that are struggling with that line of demarcation. And it's not just John Wayne. We just got done celebrating President's Day, right? George Washington? George Washington owned slaves. I mean, we celebrate Thomas Jefferson as one. I went to Thomas Jefferson's house. Thomas Jefferson had a room in the back where he raped slaves and had children with him. I mean, it's a very uncomfortable part of our past. But I don't know. It's interesting that now, it's like we've ignored it for all this time, and now we're dealing with it. And I think a lot of people have a hard time knowing what to do with it.
Well, do you know what to do with the historical views of some people like this? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, how do you wrap your head around that when, like, the whole it's a different time thing? Like, what do you do with that? I've never been able to reconcile that. You know, it's like, in other words, you put you back in 1880.
Yeah.
You think a lot of the same things that a lot of the men thought at that time, right?
Yeah.
And you're not like that. You're not wired like that. But it's taught to you. That's what you. Again, it's just you. We haven't evolved to this place yet. So
no, it's like when
should
you,
I hold that against you if you just happened to have been born then and thought those things?
It's
a really hard one.
It is, and I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that I'm smart enough to know what to do with that. I'll tell you what, it does make me view them a little bit differently. I have a hard time sitting there doing the John Wayne is a hero of mine sort of bit.
By 1971, a lot of people thought differently.
Yes.
Not John Wayne.
Oh. And that's the thing. Is like,
so where's the cutoff?
Should you have known better? Well, even now, like, I remember during the Me Too movement, right? Listening to some of the, like, James Caan, right? Who grew up in that kind of the heyday of the Playboy thing. And I remember James Caan being like, this whole thing is ridiculous. You can't even ask a woman out anymore. You can't even flirt with them.
Yeah.
You're like, really, Jimmy? Really, that's you poor men, right? That we're not able to just compliment a woman anymore. It's like, grow up. Get out of that mentality. Like, you're alive when things are changing. You should change that mentality. You know, for John Wayne, I don't know. The guy died in 1979. Should you have known better? Yeah, but he also, you're expecting a guy to change when he was in his late 60s, early 70s. Not a whole lot of changing is going on for those people at that time.
You know what happened recently that I didn't know? To this point, this is a great example of this. And I'm going to throw myself under the bus right now.
What do you got?
43-year-old white male. A lot of this stuff, you know, you have to be taught, right?
Yeah.
So, what was it? Howard Schultz recently was doing a CNN town hall type thing. And he said, I don't see color. We've all heard that phrase, right?
Yes.
You don't see color. Meaning, I'm not racist.
Sure.
I don't see color. White, black, green, orange, don't care.
I find that to be a crock, but continue.
But that's a very common thing that people say.
Yeah.
He is being crushed for that. Do you know why?
No.
Okay, see, this is one of those things where, so you and I are in the same boat. I actually didn't know that that's not okay to say that anymore.
Nor is it not.
And he's being crushed for it. Well, one, because he's a rich white billionaire, and he kind of comes across that way.
Sure.
But two, because you are supposed to see color. Like, you, of course you see color. We all see color.
Well, that was
not supposed to affect you.
Right, you're supposed to see everybody around you, but treat them all the same.
That's right. But at the same time, as a guy who, you and I are a little older than Mike, so it sounds like Mike was like, oh, of course.
I mean, like, I understand why he's getting crushed for it.
I understand both sides of it. I'm just saying that this is one of those where I thought that phrase, I mean, I know what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I know that he, well, if you look at his track record, it's actually been pretty good. Like, the guy is, as much as a multi-billionaire can be the genuine article, perhaps he is. You talk to some people who have worked at Starbucks or who have read his, and know his history. But he's being crushed for that. It's like we evolve, and we should evolve in what we say and how we say it. But that is one right there that has evolved. And you and I are both alive. We're both very aware. We host a radio show. We're kind of trying to keep up on all this stuff. And we didn't know that it's already evolved past that one saying. You know what I mean?
If you would have said that, I wouldn't have thought anything of it.
Right. I didn't think it. I saw that town hall. I was watching it. I DVR'd it. I went back and watched it. And I didn't think a thing of it when he said that, because I've heard that phrase before.
But other people.
Social media crushed him. So that's an example of, you know, this stuff, and I see why it's moved to that place, right? Like, now I totally get it after having read about, okay, why are they beating him up for that?
Makes
sense. Okay, it makes sense. But I didn't know it.
It's a delicate dance.
And there's a new one of these every single day.
Look, I think it's a case-by-case basis, and it's up for each individual to decide on your own. But I do think that context and how you grew up and societal norms, like, the biggest one that I can think of, if you were to go back and talk to 15-year-old me, mine would have been the calling things gay. If you grew up when I grew up, dude, anything that you thought was stupid or the lesser, dude, it was gay. That was just like, that was standard. Or the retard, right? Quit being retarded, quit being gay, and then the bundle of sticks. That was thrown around nonstop. It was thrown around in my home. It was thrown around in my junior high. That was said in front of teachers. It wasn't said in front of principals, and no one cared. Not a big deal at all. And now, you know, obviously you say any one of those things, I mean, you're fired. And so, you know, to go back and look at that, that's all I'm saying, is I try to take this into context when you're talking about someone that grew up in a different time and what was societal norms. And I don't think that gives you carte blanche to be a terrible person and be like, oh, it was the times. But I do think that you have to look at what was accepted normal practices.
Yeah, but what he said in 1971 was not accepted. Like, that's a little much. Actually, it's a lot much.
He still believed that somehow that blacks were less intelligent than white people. And you're a dumbass. You're an old racist.
So here's the flip side of it. You and I just admitted that there's one that we missed, that I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't know that. Saying I don't see color is offensive. I didn't know that, and I'm embarrassed by that, because I try to, you know, I feel like I try to, as a human being, it's my responsibility, especially as a white guy.
Yeah.
I try to be good about all this stuff, right? Because we are taught, the majority of men, I feel like collective socialization of men teaches manhood as like, and this, it all factors in the same, like, is just tough.
Well, you know, it's John Wayne, right?
That's
grab
right.
a root and hold on.
You don't ask for help. There's no emotion. There's no fear. And with that same sort of, like, manhood discussion comes, you know, what you're taught about other races, or what you're taught about women.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is generational stuff that is beaten into our brains, and we actually have to be the ones to rewire. Right?
Yeah.
As men, or as white people, or as you know,
yeah, insert
whomever.
Whatever group you want.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're born as a white male, you're born with like this extra layer of sort of power that we all deal with in our own way and on our own time, right? We all have to kind of come to grips with like, oh my God, they're telling me that that's not right. I don't think that's right. At some point you figure out that the N-word is not a good word, even though you heard it as a young person.
Yeah.
Right? Or as like you say, gay or the R-word.
Or the way you treat women.
Exactly. So we all deal with that in our own ways. It's just that I think the flip side of it is by 1971,
probably should have figured
John
that out.
Wayne should have figured that. Like, it is okay to bash him for that. Certainly, whatever it is, 50 years later.
Yeah.
You know,
and yet,
because
and yet you'll get people that will dig in their heels and be like, screw you, I love John Wayne. I love his movies.
No, for sure.
And
I mean, I get that, but that's just, you know, blind loyalty.
But something like this, get his name taken off an airport real quick.
Are they pulling his name?
No, I'm just saying. This starts floating around and this becomes a bigger deal and people start raising a fit about it.
Well, there are going to be people that are going to want their pound of flesh.
Yes.
Which that's a whole nother, that's another story too.
Which is interesting because, again, you're trying to get your pound of flesh off a guy that's been dead for, what? When did he die? 79?
1979, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been four decades. Who are you trying to get a pound of flesh from, right? I don't know. Isn't there more important things to worry about than John Wayne being a racist and a bigot and a sexist?
Yeah, sometimes it's, you know, it's the social media mob, man.
Yeah.
They get going
this
on something.
This one picked up steam.
I don't know why. I don't know why it's out there, but.
Because I remember seeing this literally 10 years ago.
Somebody put it out there and now everybody's freaking out. All right, well, that's enough of that crap.
Yeah, we got very serious.
What's this
there?
Crap? What the hell, Mike?
Getting into some fart sounders?
How do you let this happen?
I thought it was a really interesting segment.
What's the serious talk we're doing here?
I think it's a conversation more people need to have.
Yeah.
Not bad every now and then to take a look at yourself and realize that
right.
If you're not growing...
You're not perfect.
Yeah, but you should be growing and evolving consistently. You say this all the time, and I think it's one of the better things you say. The worst excuse for doing something is it's always been done that way. Grow and evolve.
Yeah, so there.
And don't be John Wayne.
Yeah, especially John Wayne. All right. And I was never a John Wayne fan anyway.
I do love
Can I admit that, or does that make me less of a man, right?
Well, clearly you're less of a man, but still. I love True Grit, but I like the Jeff Bridges version better. And Jeff Bridges, not a giant racist. See, I went on both fronts there.
That's right. All right.
I did like Rooster Cogburn. I got it.
Excuse me. What are we doing next?
I don't know.
Me.
Yeah, you.
TV note.
Yeah, you got a hot TV note.
I do. This is a hot take.
I'm ready.
I'm coming back at you with something. You're going to be surprised.
You got a break. We're like 8 minutes
away. Yeah, thanks a lot. here is Mike. Nope. Let's just break, and then we'll come back to another segment. That's how far over we are. I thought it was time for SportsCenter. It's not.
Work on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
All right, now to some lighter fare.
Yeah, I've got animal sex news, too, that we need to get to.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I do.
Seriously?
It's a great story.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it is. And I've got, it's an interesting question, because it involves animal sex, but there's also people involved, and there's a hat involved. We need to discuss.
All right.
Have you seen this?
No.
Have you seen the sex hat?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you will in a minute.
Okay, well, the conch is yours in 2 minutes.
All right.
But all I wanted to tell you is this about TV. This is my TV note. Because we have already buried True Detective Season 3, right?
It's terrible. I quit 2.5 episodes in. It's
okay,
terrible.
Okay, here's my note.
Is it back?
It's coming alive, dude. Mm. I did not bail on it. I have a hard time... Like, once I put it, so I watched the first 5 episodes, and that's when I think we all had the talk that show sucks.
Yeah.
And it's the True Detective Season 1 was great with Matthew McConaughey and,
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Season 2,
phenomenal.
I thought was, Season 2 was better than people gave it credit for, but it was not nearly as good as Season 1. And then Season 3 is just getting raked over the coals until now. And I don't know if you've been seeing a lot of the... sort of commentary on it recently. Mm-hmm. It's getting rave reviews now.
Oh.
And this is season 3 with Mahershala Ali and some other people. And I tell you what, it is a really, really, really slow burn. But I just have a hard time stopping. Once I get that many episodes in, I feel like I need to see it through, particularly in today's day and age where, you know, sometimes these shows, like Westworld was the same way. You watch the first 5, 6, 7 episodes of the first season of Westworld, you're like, dude, this is boring
and
stupid.
And then we get into robot orgies and murders, and it gets pretty good.
S gets real.
Yeah.
And that's a great show. So I think in today's, we're worse served than ever to give up on shows early because you just never know. And I will say, I have to report to you this. I am obligated to report this to you, that True Detective Season 3 has come alive, and there's only one episode left. It's only 8 episodes total. Mm-hmm. So if you want to go back, it's not that.
Be prepared. I did not make it to all the way through episode 3 because I thought it sucked rocks.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, I couldn't agree with you more.
Isn't that a really bad indictment of a show where you say, second to last episode, there it is.
Maybe.
Now it got me.
Maybe, but I'm just telling you, they salvage it.
Because, like, here's the thing. I was on True Detective, and after 2.5 episodes, it sucked. I stopped watching it, went did something else, and then I picked up Ray Donovan. Ray Donovan had me hooked in, like, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back.
Yeah, and you won't.
And so why would I spend time dealing with True Detective when I've got Ray Donovan?
I am not telling you to go back and watch True Detective Season 3. I totally understand why people punt.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I have a harder time punting than some people. I kind of feel invested and I stick with it. And even Jack, you know, Cracker Jack on Twitter, he told me, he said, Rob, don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up.
I'll tell you
what. I didn't. And I tell you what, I watched episode 7 last night, or I guess Sunday night it came out. And there's only one episode left, and it's got its hooks back in me.
I'll just tell you, in today's world of competitive television, I got a lot of options out there. You better grab me within the first episode or two. And if you don't, thanks for coming. I'm moving on to the next thing.
Yeah. I, again, I'm not arguing with you on that. I'm just telling you that if you were to go back and watch True Detective Season 3, it gets better. It does not end. Because you guys were telling me last week that Dexter fizzles, right?
Yes.
Like, somebody said the best way to watch Dexter is watch it through the season 4 and pretend that the season finale of season 4 is the end of the show, and then just don't watch the rest of it.
You're probably.
I thought that was really good advice.
That's good advice. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it gets bad.
So season 3 of True Detective is slow, no question.
Can I just pick it up on episode 5 then and just forget about the first 4?
But then you're not going to know what's going on.
How about I read a synopsis of the first 4 episodes and then jump in at episode 5.
There's kind of a lot going on with it.
I feel like I'm going to do that because I've done that with movies before where someone's like, hey, you should watch that and the movie isn't that interesting. I'll read through the synopsis and then just watch the second half of the movie and be like, good enough.
Now, can we just make sure you're not giving out a false flag here? Because a lot of people said True Detective Season 2 mm-hmm. picked up at the end.
I liked it.
But the first 6 episodes are awful and
slow. Okay, then don't watch. Look. God.
Rob's getting raked over the coals.
Why
on his
are
hot,
you
True
yelling
Detective
at me?
Dick.
All I'm telling you is the reviews of season 3 of True Detective are that it is really popping. It starts with episode 6. The end of episode 6 is a plot twist. And then episode 7 and now the season finale is next week, I think. It definitely picks up. I'm not saying you have to watch it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike's not happy about it. Not
he's
happy
yelling,
one bit.
No, I'm just passionate.
Yelling at me.
It frustrates me that a show can get away with being bad for 80% of it just because it has one good episode at the end.
Is it? Well, again, I said 3 episodes. Although, I don't know. The season finale could be a total dud. I don't know.
Raph's going to come back like 2 days
from now. I'm just exaggerating
to
make my point, but you know what I mean.
And be like, True Detective's back to being crap.
You don't think that it's okay. See, I think you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. If you think that, let's say 4 or 5 episodes of a show, let's say they're all an hour, if they are laying groundwork that isn't the most exciting, but they're laying it for something to come, I think if you say that that's not okay, you're setting yourself up to where you're going to be disappointed in a lot of shows. You can do whatever you want.
I do enjoy that.
A lot of shows are like that.
They're absolutely. And I like it when it's done well. And it has to, I think for me personally, that has to exist, but there also has to be bursts of excitement. So it's like, oh, cool. They,
you need some heads getting lopped off.
They like, have a plan.
What you're saying is not every show is pizza where you instantly eat it and you're like, well, this is the best thing ever. Some of it is a more sophisticated palate and acquired taste where you have to learn to enjoy it.
This is why Game of Thrones is so great, is that Game of Thrones has all of that.
Yeah.
And instantly. I mean, the first, Mike just said he went back and watched the first episode of season one of Game of Thrones. You know what happens in that episode?
I'm trying to remember.
Bran gets pushed out of the window.
Oh, yeah.
In that's the like first
one of the,
episode.
Yeah, one of the biggest moments of
Lannister
the whole show.
Lannister gives him the heave-ho for spying on him. He's like, and gone.
And that's why that show is great. And so I'm just, all I'm saying is not every show can be Game of Thrones, man. Like, there's a reason why it sets itself apart.
I just feel like if you are making TV or a movie, it's like a mixtape, right? If you're making an awesome mixtape, Volume 1, you don't start off with a clunker, right? You don't start off with some sort of indie thing that you love. You start off with a jam that everyone gets involved. It grabs you. And I feel like more people need to do that when you're making a movie, or especially a TV show. Grab me.
Yeah, I think you have to get the people committed early.
Yes, rope me in, and then you can then build you can character build. And story.
Like, I think that's why Breaking Bad was so good to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Is because Breaking Bad grabs you episode one. But so much of Breaking Bad is family drama and slow build and character development. Mm-hmm. But I was already sucked in by that point. Right, I wasn't giving up.
Weren't there bodies and chemicals like really early on?
Yeah.
In that show?
Yeah.
And that's what you need.
Yeah,
you need
it goes down. It goes down quick.
But you're so right.
A death in the first little bit grabs you.
Right. Well, like a really gory. Like a
shocking, oh,
whoa.
What's happening here?
Exactly. So you're absolutely right about season three of True Detective not having that. No question. And that, and there are a lot of people that got turned off, but please, please, I'm telling you, it comes alive.
Give it a whirl. Well, I can't make any promises, but maybe.
You
maybe,
won't.
Maybe
then that's
I'll
fine.
Give it a spin.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, we have animal sex news.
I got sex hat news. You want to breed falcons?
No.
Better get a sex hat.
That's next. Here's Mike.
Is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay, all right.
Let's get to some sex hat. Have you ever worn a sex hat?
No.
Maybe you should consider it. I found this to be very interesting and also disturbing at the same time, and I watched a video today, and it absolutely horrified me. And I did not know this about falcons. I guess, you know, there's not a lot of falcons. There's certain types that we've brought nearly to the brink of extinction, but they've come back thanks in large part to sex hats. So I guess the female falcon is like 2/3 bigger than the male. Remember, we had this story about they're trying to breed tigers, and they had this bit of a kerfuffle where they brought the male tiger, the female tiger, to try to breed, and the male tiger killed the female.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess this is the opposite. I guess female falcons are much larger, and I guess they're kind of ornery when they get a little randy. Mm-hmm. And if the male falcon pisses them off, the female falcon, well, kills him. So these birds were brought to extinction by like pesticides, and so we were trying to bring them back and we're trying to breed them, but I guess we were having too many problems with the females not liking the certain male that they had. I guess they can be pretty picky. And so I guess this started like in the late 70s, where a guy came up with a solution to this. It's a sex hat. So falconers, if you are going to be a falconer, a person that raises falcons, you basically take a big rubber hat that's got like, it looks like a honeycomb pattern on top of it. And then you learn the mating calls of the falcon. So you get the bird all hot and bothered by mimicking the mating calls of the female falcon. And then the bird gets on top of your head and he goes to pound town. And all the little different receptacles collect the falcon sperm and then they artificially inseminate the female falcons.
There's a reason why this has to be on your head.
That was my question.
Can't you just have this sitting on the ground?
This is the part that I didn't fully understand. And throughout my research today, I can't really come up with a reason why, other than if you're a falconer, I think you're really, really weird. But watch the video of this.
Yeah, I see it here.
It looks like you've got a condom.
It kind of looks like a waffle cone.
Yeah.
On your head.
Yeah. And then you convince the Falcon, the male Falcon, to get on top, and then he just goes to town.
He deposits.
He deposits.
Into the hump helmet.
Yes. And I guess with all the different, receptacles, the Falcon can go and go and go and go. I guess they're there. Yeah, he's got the ability.
That's a lot of completing.
And then you take the hat, and you literally there is a bird that is dropping bombs on your dome with your little weird helmet. And when you watch a video of it, it's the most horrifying thing that I can think of.
No.
And I don't, and by the way, this is like a giant bird that has the ability to literally claw your face off, and you're making whoopee with it while it's on top of your head. Why on God's green earth would anyone think of this, as opposed to what Mike said, just putting it down? And the other one too is, why do you have to make the noises? Why can't you just have pre-recorded noises or put it in a room like a cage next to a female falcon and have that? I think that falconers are really weird. Like, this is
like... Yeah, I think that's probably the correct answer here.
The more and more I thought about... And by the way, the Falcon sex hats, they're $200. They're not cheap. But I'm looking at it on Amazon right now. You can order one of these bad boys. It's called a Falcon copulation hat. And it'll run you 155 British pounds.
I didn't know there were so few falcons.
Neither did I. But apparently it's become such an issue that we're forcing them to, hump a guy's head. Have you seen the video of it yet?
Oh, yeah, I was watching it.
Yeah.
Still watching it.
Is that not the most bizarre?
It's a little odd. The look on the guy's face is hilarious.
Yeah. Like, I've seen they do this with horses, right? Where the horse, they come up with, they put a fake horse, right? And then because the same thing like in
could you describe this in more detail, please?
Well, in thoroughbred breeding, what? Same sort of thing, the female can hurt the male, and they don't want that. So they have a fake horse, and the male horse comes and mounts the fake horse. But there's not a person inside the fake horse. It's not like they get a guy in a little horsey outfit to roll in there and play the role of the horse.
I do think that has happened before, Sue. Probably led to some deaths.
Why on earth is the falconer wearing the falcon sex hat? It makes no sense to me
whatsoever. What we need to do is, this means we need to get a falconer on.
Yes.
I have falconing questions.
I feel like the falconer needs to answer questions, because I feel like him wearing the sex hat is entirely unnecessary. That's a step in the process that you don't need. And yet somehow it's become commonplace in Falcon society, where no one blinks an eye at this.
Weirder, Falconers or ham radio guys?
Falconers. Because I'm asking this question. Is there any other animal that it's acceptable for the animal to have sex on your head?
I'm not going to answer that.
Find me another animal where it's like, hey, we need to save these animals. I got a great idea. What if it just has sex with my head? No, no, guys, it's not weird. I got a little helmet on. Trust me, it's going to be okay.
I feel like that line was pulled exactly from Quagmire from Family Guy. That's something he would say. Don't worry, guys. I got it all figured out.
I can't just go put on my bike helmet and then like go out and be like, hey, Falcon, have at it there. I'm going to make some bird humping noises, and you just climb on up there and go to town. Nah, we're going to be fine. Yeah, it's all good. It's for the benefit of the species. It's just weird. And yet I stumbled across that today.
Is falconing a sport?
Yeah, I think it's, well, I think it's more of an activity.
And you do what exactly?
I think it's one of those things like where you have the falcon like go and retrieve things or come back, and
yeah.
It's a whole thing. I feel like if you're a falconer, I feel like you're a really, really weird guy. Like, that's a very...
A little primitive.
Yeah. I think you also go to medieval Renaissance fairs. And you have a bird that humps your head. That's really all you need to know of.
It says, I'm reading about falconry. Few people thrilling at the brief, intense magic of a trained hawk in flight realize the intense demands placed upon one who aspires to be a falconer.
I think that the sex helmet is probably part of those high demands.
Could that be a more pretentious line about falconing? God. Few people thrilling at the brief, intense magic of a trained hawk in flight realize the intense demands placed upon one who aspires to be falconer. Jesus.
Apparently there is a place called Mike's Falconry Supplies in Gresham.
Yes, Mike's.
Can we reach out to Mike and ask him?
I emailed it to myself already. I will do that.
Yeah.
Mike is the main falconer, and then his wife is vice president and office manager, and then his son is production and warehouse
manager. This is going to be a disaster because Mike's going to take falconry way too seriously.
Yeah.
And he's going to come on here, and we're going to be bombarding him with stupid falconry questions.
I've got questions.
Maybe he listens to the show, and we'll understand where you guys are coming from.
Maybe.
He'll hate you forever.
I've got questions, and I feel like Mike needs to answer them, like, why birds are humping people's heads.
I'll go to Bob's falconry.
And here's the problem.
Not Mike's.
Let me ask you this. What if the falcon gets used to humping someone's head, and then I happen to be cruising by, and I'm not wearing the protective falcon sex helmet, and it decides to come make with me? Because I'll tell you what, those look talons reaching into your head while that bird has its way with your forehead, that's not good for anybody. I'll tell you that right now.
Hmm.
That's a double dose of bad.
Shall we go? Yeah, we do need to roll here. We'll get your brother in and his hot thoughts on falconry.
Falcon 6.
Coming up next on The Fan.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here is the big fella from his new palatial estate out in Washougal, Washington.
You know what? A lot of falcons out here in Washougal.
Are there?
No, not at all. But if there were, maybe I could be a falconer.
I feel like you could have some falcon sex. I figure, like, because if it's all about, like, collection size, you have the biggest head of anyone I know.
Yeah, you're more efficient.
I would think that the male falcon would take a look at what you got going up top and be all over that.
You know, I once coached for the Prairie Falcons. Does that count?
Yeah, I think we're well on our way here.
I mean, you have flown with the flock. I've seen the t-shirt that you wear.
Yes, and yet, because of that, I know that it is not a flock of falcons. Do you know what a group of falcons is called?
I do not know.
Gaggle.
No, it's one of my favorite moments in coaching at Prairie. So the guy that was our head coach, we were going to camp down at Oregon State. He got all the kids these shirts. And it said Prairie Football on the front. And on the back, it said Flying with the Flock. Like, we're all in this together, right? And he hands them out to everybody on the team. And this kid that was my center, it was a really smart kid, kind of funny. He raises his hand, and he says, Coach, Flying with the Flock? And the coach gives a little coach speech about, yeah, we're all in this together, and it's a flock, and the flock is stronger. He says, you know that a group of falcons is called a cast, right? Not a flock.
It's called a cast?
A cast, yeah. It's a cast of falcons. And, like, everybody just was silent. Like, you could hear the music. And our coach was just like, take a laugh. He didn't know.
Take a laugh. He didn't know
what to say.
That's
made
classic coach response.
Shut up, Hirschfelder. Take a laugh.
Yeah. So every time I see the Flying with the Flock shirt, I just laugh because it's a cast of falcons.
Yeah, but Flying with the Cast doesn't quite
invoke
the same sort of imagery.
We understand, right?
Right, right.
You should have been the Prairie Crows, because then you could say you can come join the murder. Because that's the best
join the murder.
That's the best group of animals ever, is come join the murder, because you got a murder of crows, which is the most badass thing you can be.
Agreed. Did you guys, you may have talked about this, did you bring up the old Saturday Night Live sketch, The Falconer?
Somebody text that in, the Will Ferrell. Yeah. That's great, yeah. Matt. He's a weirdo.
You should Google The Falconer. I don't think there were very many episodes of it, but it was kind of funny.
I'll just tell you right now that anyone, and this goes across all genres of animals here, if you're... And I get that you need conservationists and you need people that save the animals. But if that's like, there's a certain point where you go native, and I find that to be very disturbing. I feel like that's not normal behavior. Someone has wronged you at some point in your life, or there has been some sort of cataclysmic event that has forced you to go that far. No rational, normal, well-adjusted human being says, what the hell? I'm going to put on a rubber hat and let a falcon hump it. That's just not normal behavior.
No, I agree. If you could own an exotic bird as a pet, what would you go with?
I'm going owl. I love the owl.
Really? Rob, what about you?
Oh, man, I don't know. Probably, well, I don't know that. I can't answer. You can't just hit me with that right at the end of the show.
I had mine ready to go. I had it holstered. Give me owl.
I don't know if that's a good answer. Yeah. I got to think about this.
You're kind of an owl vibe, Big Sook. I get it. I thought you would have gone with like a big, majestic eagle.
No, I feel like the eagle is like the guy that drives the big truck. Like, you got a small ween. You're trying to prove something there by, like, look at my eagle. Like, ah.
I think a really, really, really cool talking, like parrot.
A parrot or macaw or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
I can see Rob having a parrot that you trained to order the drinks for you at a bar.
That would be pretty fantastic. Or if you could have, like, what is that? Like, that evil bird, like the emu or whatever. You could have, like, an attack emu. Those things are like mean as hell, cruising around with you just ready to beat the hell out of someone.
Generally, I don't think birds are that cool. I hate to say that, but I'm not a big, I don't know.
I just feel bad because I feel like the only way you can keep them is by putting them in a cage so they can't fly. It's like you're an a-hole if you got one.
I don't know.
Or clip its wings.
You big bird guy, are you?
No, not necessarily, but I think they're cool. I mean, they can fly, so I'm not going to shoot them down like you.
Well, wait, what? I'm not shooting any birds down. I'm just saying.
No, you just said they weren't that cool, and I'm saying they are. They can fly.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think most of them are kind of like, whatever. There's another bird.
Yeah, it's parrot.
There's some cool ones, but.
Yeah, there's another bird. Yeah.
Pigeons.
Rob's taking an attack pigeon.
All right.
Giant ostrich on a leash just following you around.
Himalayan snowcock.
Take care.
All right, see you guys. Go bird.
Bye. Look at him, pro bird.
Yeah, I got nothing against that. Still working out that phone system.
Yeah. It'll might take the year. We'll get it. We gotta go. We're out of here. Can you believe that? Did another show. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain. Red chips of Spain.
I think it's a Himalayan snowcock.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.